Let's look at this retrain your brain page. The truth is, your brain is rewiring itself every day. The only question is, what input are you giving it for those changes? Because whatever input you're putting in, that's what it's changing into. Whatever you're feeding your brain determines the structures your brain makes. If you don't manage your mind, it's going to manage you. Yeah. Facts about retraining your brain. Truth is, I don't have to allow my mind to control me. I can retrain my brain. What do brains do? Your brain is constantly looking for ways to reduce the metabolic flow in order to save energy so that I can think while my brain manages the heavy things, like keeping my heart pumping, my lungs breathing, etc. Yeah. So your brain is hard at work. Sally needs the mic. We lost the microphone. Oh, he's taking a nap. He's resting his brain. Oh. Yay, Al, you're the best.
Thank you, Al. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, you took such a left sharp, or I just fell off just for a minute right there. I thought this is a really good, metabolic flow, all this is like, what is happening here? But it's to save energy so that I can think while my brain manages. That's where I went. I thought my brain was thinking. Like, I mean, I know I'm thinking, but I thought the brain was the thinker, not me the thinker. I mean, maybe I should just take this afterwards to the Lord because I don't want to.
So in other words, the function of your brain is to try its best to reduce energy flow because it has to do two things simultaneously. It has to keep your heart pumping, your liver working, your kidneys, your lungs breathing, right? And that takes a lot of energy. But at the same time it's doing that, it has to be thinking, right? And it can't stop letting your heart pump so that it can help you think. So your brain is constantly looking for ways to reduce the metabolic flow in order to save energy so that you can think while your heart's beating.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of lining up here for, I don't know what happened. But thank you.
That's good. That's good. Julie, Deborah right here, Al, you just passed her. Did you change your mind? She had her hand up.
You're doing amazing, Al. So when we get like overwhelmed, is that why we shut down? Because it's too much, and like our system, it gets overloaded. Like because we're having to.
You shut down?
Is that why sometimes people shut down because there's just too much going on, and your body's just trying to like maintain your vital organs? I'm being for real though. Like,
you shut down mostly because your limbic system gets overwhelmed. All those firefighters are coming to the fire and they can't get there fast enough. Right? And so your body has to do something to slow it down to get the help you need. Yeah. But, yeah. was a great question. Right. Absolutely.
I was told that's the involuntary functions of your brain is what keeps you alive. Because it's involuntary. You don't have to think. We don't have to tell our brains to think, to tell our bodies to breathe and to heartbeat and all those things.
Yeah, that's true.
And then involuntary is all that other stuff. But they put people in comas on purpose in order to shut down all that involuntary thinking in order to allow the brain to just tell the body to heal and let the brain send those signals for the body to keep healing and working.
Right. And what now they've learned is that even when they put you in a coma, you're still thinking.
It's still,
they
yeah.
thought you weren't.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
you still are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and absolutely your heart beating, your liver, that's all involuntary, but it requires a tremendous amount of energy. So your brain works really hard to try to reduce your utility bill, your electric bill. Yeah.
What is the difference between the brain and the imagination?
Great question. Your imagination is part of your brain, but it's not your brain. It's you actually have anatomy in your brain that allows you to be visual internally, your imagination. So,
when you had times of trauma growing up, but you had imagination,
mm-hmm. How did you rewire your brain so that your imagination wasn't running wild?
Are you asking me personally?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, how I did it? I did it by spending time with Yeshua under that apple tree. He did it in me and through me. And by healing me and giving me that secure attachment and establishing that strong joy bond with him, that he's glad to be with me, all the effects of the trauma started getting healed and went away. Great question, Kip. Thank you. I see you, Cindy, and I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, that was sweet. Now I forgot my question. So her question regarding the imagination, you know, how do you recover that? And your answer that you spend time with Yeshua. But that, to me, says that's the same thing that we're talking about, the neuroplasticity, because we invite Yeshua into our imagination to retrain it to be, we ask him to consecrate it, we ask him to anoint it, we repent for anything that's in there that's not from him. And so over time, we've created a new reality for our imagination.
Yes.
And so those things don't, they still come in, but there's a healing process. They don't stay there anymore. Like, yeah.
And that's that creating new neural pathways and neurons that wire together, fire together. Mm-hmm. And neurons that fire together, wire together. It's both true. And once that happens, you just created a habit. And the more you do that habit, the stronger those connections get, the larger that neural community gets, and the more embedded that habit is, whether good or bad.
So amazing.
Excellent. Anybody else? Oh, all the way over here, Christy. Al, you're getting in your aerobics today. He's growing his prefrontal cortex.
Okay, so as you were reading this just kind of gave me, the Lord just gave me this analogy, and it may be, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but it was like, if we thought of our brains or our bodies as a luxury car, right, and our thoughts are fuel, it's like, are we going to think of good thoughts as the premium fuel to keep our cars running appropriately, or if we put bad thoughts in, that's like getting the 85 gas from Casey's, and it's going to shut it down.
That's excellent.
Now I can say, like, well, that's an 85 gas thought, so I'm not going to think that.
Yeah. And also that car has a filter, and it gets clogged, and it has to be cleaned, and on and on and on, right? Anybody else? Okay. All right, let's keep going. Number two, I must believe that I'm getting better at whatever I'm doing. So it's important that you tell your brain and you believe it that this activity of retraining my brain, of believing that somebody's glad to be with me, that I'm loved, that I belong, that it's actually working. Right? And the more you do it, the more you believe it. Your brain doesn't have a scale or a way to tell you, nope, I'm not going to believe you. Your brain doesn't. It believes what you tell it. Like I give the example all the time of one morning this really happened. I got up and, you know, I told you I broke my toe 3 times and I broke the other one twice. And I get up this morning and, oh, I catch that toe on the corner of that cabinet and pop it back. And I'm just like, oh, I broke my toe. I know I did. I felt it pop. And I did. And so I said, and then I did something else and I stumbled. And I said out of my mouth, oh, I'm having a bad day. Now, your brain hears everything you say and think. So then I go in the kitchen and open the cabinet up here on top. And somebody left a big jumbo box of Cheerio bag unrolled. I open the cabinet. That box comes out. I mean, I'm covered in Cheerios all the way. So is the whole kitchen floor. And I go, oh, I'm having a bad day. I knew it. And as soon as I say it, I go, oh, brain, I lied to you. And I try to undo, you know. So I do the whole red X, and it took me the rest of the day saying, I'm having a great day, I'm having a great day. Because your brain absolutely believes you, and you will respond to whatever happens the way you just told it. Now, had I told myself that morning I was having a great day, that Cheerios would have fell on me, and I would have went, I'm having the best day. Man, this is fun. I'm going to enjoy picking up those Cheerios, right? Yeah, maybe. So be careful what you tell your brain. It believes you because it doesn't have the ability to tell you that's not true. Your mind does, but your brain doesn't. And we're talking about retraining your brain, that computer, not your mind, right now. Okay, number three, my brain says, this situation reminds me of a past situation. And back then, you told me, this is my brain talking to me, back then you told me that when I got in a situation like this, I need to freeze. And then your brain, is that what you want me to do this time? It's going to check, especially if you're in the process of rewiring it, retraining it. It's going to check. So is that what you want me to do? And if you don't respond, it's going to default to programming, and it will respond by freezing. So as you're in the process of retraining, it's going to check in, and it's going to find out what you want. Your brain wants to do, it's made to do what your mind tells it to do. We just haven't known that. Now, this voice that I just said, it comes to you as your voice, your thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. It's your brain checking in with your voice. I have the thought, but it's really my brain getting consent to go into automatic behavior mode. Or do you want this to be different? Mm-hmm. Your mind must answer your brain. Is it? Is that what you want? Are you giving your brain permission to establish automatic behavior? Now, if that automatic behavior is Christ-like and appropriate, then yeah, you better believe I'm going to freeze. I'm not moving. I got a million Cheerios hanging all over me and on the floor. If I step on them, whatever, right? If so, if I tell my brain no, and if I say no, I don't want you to freeze this time. There's no need for that. We're safe. We're good. Then if I do that, then my brain's going to lay down. It's going to create a new neuron and a neural pathway, a rut, which will eventually become automatic. Neurons that fire together, wire together, which creates a habit. For example, you tell yourself that you're not going to eat ice cream and chips. The next day you get home and you're tired or frustrated or angry or whatever, and without even thinking, you go to the freezer, get the ice cream, get the bowl, and get a double dose of ice cream and double chips, and you go crawl in your bed because that's where you like to eat your ice cream and chips. And you don't even think about it. You forgot that you said yesterday, I don't want to do that anymore. Because that's a neural pathway that's been created. I don't have to think about it. I just do it without even thinking. Wow. All right? Habits are formed because of the choices you form by giving your brain consent to automate. You tell your brain, this is what I want. It, when you, as soon as you say that, it sets up an automated system. This is the way your brain and mind work together. Automatic behavior controls your heart, your lungs, your kidney, your liver, etc., etc. So here's an example of how to retrain your brain. Focus on gratitude, and your brain will automate that. I remember telling the Lord, I didn't know my brain was listening a number of years ago, I want to be the most thankful person so that in the midst of the worst tragedy, out of my mouth will come gratitude. Yeah. I said that to the Lord. My brain heard me. It set up a neural pathway to where I was shocked how something would happen, and out of my mouth I go, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm so grateful for this. I don't understand how it's going to work out for good, but I know it will. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, it just started happening. And the more I did it, the more it happens. And I'm just amazed at how quickly my brain expresses gratitude over the littlest things. And I mean, anybody that's around me, often you hear me, thank you, Lord. I'll often say it under my breath. It's just automatic. So that's a great thing. Once that thing becomes automatic and you find yourself in a difficult, painful event, your automatic response will be gratitude, and you won't have to think about it. But if you rehearse, practice fear, shame, anger, bitterness, da-da-da, then that will be your automatic response. If you spend a lot of time scrolling on your phone, you will find yourself craving that dopamine hit. You get dopamine from scrolling on your phone. And we wonder why people can't keep their hands off their phones. Why they're checking every 5 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, their phones. You get a dopamine hit. Practice praying and meditating, and your brain will experience peace and joy and good feelings, which will cause your hippocampus to grow. Number four, my brain doesn't determine if something is good for me or not. Like I said, it's neutral. Number five, I must believe that I'm getting better at what I'm doing. Oh, that's on here twice, 2 and 5. So that must be a double pay attention. Yeah. It's true. Number six, my mind is the trainer, the boss of my brain. My brain is the apprentice or the employee. Your brain is tissue and it's electrical. It follows habits and thoughts. Neuroscientists haven't been able to locate your mind. No one can see your thoughts. They know it, they show up on the EE, the brain scan thing. They show up on it, but they can't figure out where they're coming from. They know thoughts don't come from neurons. Here, mental activity, thoughts, is not the same as brain activity. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind, not the neurons of Christ. This gives us the ability to decide to think differently. Neuroscience now proves that this is true. Consciousness. I'll stop on number six. I think it's in here somewhere, but this idea of the thoughts and the brain and the mind, they've proven that, like I said earlier about people that have near-death experiences, they will be dead. There'll be no heartbeat, no brain activity, and these people are dead. And then the Lord sends them back. They get back in their body, and they can tell the doctors and nurses the details of what was happening in that hospital room while there was no brain activity and no heartbeat. Because their mind, will, emotions, and spirit left their body and was in that room somewhere watching. And so science is going, huh. Especially if they don't believe in the afterlife, right? What is that? Well, we know. You don't die, you live forever. You're still present in that room for a bit, and then you go wherever and have your experience with the Lord, and he says, not yet, it's not your time, go back. And he sends people back. I was 12 or 13-ish, and my dad owned a gas station, or was buying a gas station or something, worked there, something, I don't know. And my brother and I had the job every week of cleaning the bay where they raised the cars up. You know, it was cement. And we just put laundry detergent all over it, wetted it down with the hose, and then would take the broom and scrub the oil and grease off. Well, my brother and I got this great idea how fun it would be to use our feet and slide and slip all over that to clean it. Uh-huh. So I'm one of those, I give it all. Whatever I'm doing, it's got everything I got. And I go flying across that on my feet. And the next thing I know, my feet go out from under me. I fall, my head hits the concrete, and I'm out. And the next thing, like a blink, I'm out of my body. I'm above, up at the ceiling. I turn and I look. I see my body. I see my brother. He's turned. He sees me. He comes over. He starts yelling for my mom. I turn my attention, and there was a door between the office and the bay room, and above the door was a window. And I was looking through that window into the office, and I saw my mom and two men, and they were laughing. Now, I see that and I tell myself, oh, she's happy I'm dead. She's happy I'm dead. But see, that's because my reality was I wasn't wanted. And I knew it. And I was told that. So, oh, she's happy I'm dead. I look down, I watch my brother come running in through that door under me. He goes into the room, and I hear him telling my mom, Rhonda's dead. She's dead. And my mom said, what? And he said, I'm telling you, she's dead. And my mom gets up. I watch her. She comes under me. And just then I turn and I look, and I looked at my body. And when I did, this something just grabbed me and pulled me back and dropped me back in my body. I could think, I could feel, I could talk to myself, I had emotions, I could see, I just couldn't communicate. I couldn't communicate or interact. I was an observer. It was real. And by that, when my mom got to me, the next thing I dropped in my body, and I remember opening my eyes and wishing I wasn't there. It was my first emotion. I wish I wasn't back here. When we die, we aren't dead. We're alive, and we're going to live somewhere. It's just a matter of where are you going to live forever, right? All right. Where am I?
Seven.
Consciousness. Whatever you think about repeatedly becomes more stable in your brain. It keeps things the way that your thoughts are asking it to be. Your brain keeps things the way your thoughts are asking it to be. The neurons then become wired together. That's how you make changes in your brain. What you observe repeatedly, your brain will reinforce. That observation can be with your eyes, it can be in your imagination. What you observe repeatedly, your brain will reinforce. It will build a neural system. Your brain will rewire itself to reinforce this new habit or pattern of thought that you are beginning to practice and observe. And it does it pretty quickly. When you focus on your problem, you strengthen the circuits related to it. Not good, right? When you put these things into practice that I'm talking about, 1 through 7, when you put these things into practice, there's no need to focus on the problem or the past. Instead, focus on the future and ask, what is this for? Where am I going? What kind of person do I want to become? Etc., etc. The answers to those questions will train your brain to look forward. You want your brain to learn to stop looking behind you and look forward. And the reality is, Yeshua did that. It says that because of the prize set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. When he was in Gethsemane, when he was on that cross, he wasn't looking back. He wasn't looking at that moment. He was looking forward. He was looking for that prize. And you know, most people, I used to believe it, thought that, and I taught it, that the prize was his bride. And the Lord corrected me one day. He said, the prize wasn't his bride. The prize was me. He came to do my will. And that was Yeshua's, the thing he was looking at. He was looking at his Father. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And that was his prize. The pleasure of his Father having his will being done. And the Father now had his eyes on a bride for his Son. We don't get left out. But the main purpose of Yeshua was not to die for our sins. The main mandate Yeshua came to this earth with was to do the will of his Father. That's what Adam should have done, the first Adam, and he didn't do it. And Yeshua came to do it and to keep his Father in first place. And because his Father's will was to provide redemption and forgiveness for our sins so that we could be reunited with him. That's why That's why we got saved. And that's, you know, it's pretty shocking when you say Yeshua didn't come to save you. It wasn't his primary purpose at all. He came to do the will of his Father, and it just so happens that the will of his Father was to save us. That it was a family affair. Yeah. You see, there's another example. We make it about us. It's pretty intense in my life. Sometimes the Lord will go, oh, that's not about you. Oh, I'm making it about me. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it's just so in us to be self-centered and self-focused. Okay, number 9. Oh, wait, I didn't finish number 8. Or did I? Your brain will wire the neurons for whatever you rehearse or practice or repeat. Ask yourself, what am I rehearsing? What am I dwelling on in my thoughts? And if they're negative, if they're from the past, you can change them. And it's up to you to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. You got to do it. You got to do the work. And you got to get rid of the negative thought. You got to stop looking back. You got to stop blaming and feeling this way or that way and embrace the truth according to Yahweh and tell your brain the truth. Your brain's smart. It'll catch on real quick and it will change. It won't resist you, by the way. Your soul will, but your brain won't. That's why I like to start my day calling my spirit to attention, my spirit up front, man. I want to live out of my spirit. And I tell my soul to get in the back seat of the car because my soul wants to run my life. And I tell my spirit, I remind my spirit that my spirit's bound to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're one. And I'm in the driver's seat with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if my soul's in that driver's seat, I kick it out. And sometimes I have a war with my soul and I tell it, you can't even stay in the back seat. Get out of the car. You're causing me a lot of trouble today. Just get out of the car. Go away. I'll come back and get you tomorrow. Pick you up. Because you're responsible for your soul. All right, number 9, our brains filter reality. They don't create it. About 90% of neural connections between the left and the right hemispheres and the frontal lobes filter input based on what we tell our brain to pay attention to. So if you tell your brain to pay attention to joy, it's going to filter out anti-joy, complaining, murmuring, being grumpy. It's going to filter that out and build things that are joy, I'm glad to be with you based. What's important to you? It's a question you have to ask yourself. The brain is focused more on filtering information rather than creating information. For example, two people can have the same experience, but have two different views of that experience. And opposing, like one, it was the most amazing thing ever, and the other's like, it was awful, worst day of my life. Two different brains. They filtered it differently. We can train our filter. Be careful how you listen, what you see. Take every thought captive. Think on those things that are eternal, not the things of this world. Number 10, if you listen to what the Bible says through the lens of neuroplasticity and mind training by thinking positive thoughts, you will be amazed at the results. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I've refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Yahweh refines us in a furnace of suffering. When we go through something painful, we have a choice. we can allow it to define the rest of our life, and our future will be defined by that if we do that. Or we can be refined by it. You can either be defined by it or refined by it. Number 11, the parasympathetic. Okay. Thanks, Lisa. The parasympathetic nervous system helps us calm down. When we're calm, we're learning, and neuroplasticity rewires us and stabilizes us and works in our favor. We get stronger even in the midst of stress and trauma. 12, when you focus on your body or on troubles and who's to blame, then fear gets worse. Focus on those things and you will feel worse. When we focus on helping others, we feel better and believe that things will get better and healing will increase. 13, be intentional, not reactive. That's learning to train your brain. 14, 2 Corinthians 5:13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for Yahweh. If we are sound mind, it is for you. How do you get a sound mind? You train your mind to work on your behalf. 15, all the things that happen are bad. All the things that happen are bad. They start with a thought. Everything you think about becomes real. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That is my truth. I can be changed in my identity by believing that I will be renewed when I don't conform to the past thinking anymore. Take action. Stop the negative, destructive thoughts and replace them with life-giving thoughts, scriptures, and choose to believe them. This will reframe your life and it'll change your brain. If you keep doing things the way you've been doing them and you haven't been doing them very well, then you're going to have a bad outcome. We are to retrain our minds, which is the right way to live. Number 16, I have a junk drawer in my house, by the way, a big one. I think everybody does. I don't know why, but we just do, right? So let me ask you a question. Is your junk drawer like my junk drawer? If I don't do anything about it, it just gets more unorganized and chaotic and full of stuff, and you get frustrated because you can't find what you're looking for. That's what happens to mine. That happens unless we're constantly tending to it. About twice a year, I take everything out of my junk drawer and I go through it because I dislike it when it gets all chaotic and organized. I happen to have a husband that doesn't notice. It doesn't matter to him if it's organized or not. You know, it matters to me. He'd be fine with leaving it the way it is until the Lord returns. But, the day comes when I look at it and I say, that's it. That's it. Today's the day. It's getting a purging. So that descent into chaos like your junk drawer happens in your brain. It does it automatically. Retraining your mind and brain must be intentional. This means you're choosing what you want to think about and are practicing being less reactive. We need to learn to respond, not react. You hurt people when you react. Yep. Most of the time. If you don't do this, your brain will follow your instructions, your thoughts, your old patterns. It'll go into autopilot. So, and if your brain hasn't been trained to do otherwise, it's not going to be pretty. So, retraining changes old patterns of thinking. 17, neuroplasticity never turns off. Your brain is constantly changing, constantly rewiring itself, And it does so based on what you're feeding it, what you're telling it, what you're thinking about, how you're viewing your day. And your brain follows your lead. See why we're responsible? Right? Yeah. That's why Paul said, take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Right? Okay, here's a simple exercise. I thought, okay, let's take all these facts of neuroscience and let's bring it all down to a simple little exercise. There's several in this book, so notice a thought that you tend to have, one of those repetitive thoughts, and write it down. And if you can't think of one, ask your spouse or somebody that spends a lot of time with you. They very much probably could tell you what you tend to talk about often, or the way you think, or what you're viewing, how you're viewing life. So write it down. Remember, you got to take action. Writing it down is action. Label that thought or that pattern that you see in your life. Give it a name. Give it a title. Number three. Then redirect your attention to what you'd rather do or think instead of what you've been thinking. For example, something you're thankful for, you're grateful for, or a plan for the future, or a better story that you'd like your life to look like. But describe it, be as detailed as you can be. And read this, read it, read that story, that number three, over and over and over, day after day. Your brain is being programmed. You are actually programming your brain by doing it. And your brain doesn't have a choice. If you tell it, it does it. So whatever you're telling your brain, it does. And it thinks and it believes. So, and your mind is where it has to come from. So we have to change what we believe in our minds in order to get there. And these three simple steps will help you do that. Writing it down is your mind. You're writing it down. And now, don't put down that you want a Jaguar. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Or you want a mansion, or you want $1 million, or whatever. You know, we're told, we're commanded to think on the things that are eternal, the things that we can't see. And we're told not to focus on the things we can see. So take that truth and apply it to this, and you'll be amazed if you'll consistently do this. Isaiah 30:15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Amen. That's so powerful. When you let the system work the way Yahweh designed it, with you intentionally taking every thought captive and focusing on things that are life and peace, you will experience Isaiah 30:15. You can't change your life until you change your thoughts. You can retrain your mind, and your brain will rewire itself, and your life will change. Bottom line, without fail, as long as you do it. You do your part. Your brain will do its part, and it will be transformed. All right, any thoughts, questions, observations? Yeah, Deborah. Deborah's hands up. Al's on his way. Prefrontal cortex is engaged.
I just had a couple of thoughts. The Holy Spirit reminded me of a time when I was in my late 20s and I lived with a couple at the church that I was attending. And this may sound negative, but it wasn't. I just remember the man and his wife, and I was having lunch, and he looked at me, and it was from the Holy Spirit, but so it wasn't negative, but he said, you were created to be small. And he just kept declaring that over me the whole time I lived there. And before I knew it, I was smaller than I'd ever been. And, you know, and it wasn't like I had to try. Like, the truth was being imparted in my mind and my brain. And, like, I don't know, it just kept coming back to me that, like, that was that process. Only, like, the Lord let somebody else, like, speak that into me on a daily basis. And I believed it. And so then I, like, conformed to it. Like,
your brain went into automatic mode. Yeah.
And I was also reminded of, like, 2 weeks before I came here, I was working on my computer, and my system on my computer wasn't working, and it was very frustrating, and it just kept spinning out. And it just, in my job, like, I'm supposed to meet with people on Zoom, and, like, it wasn't working, and it just kept spinning out, and I was just, like, so frustrated. I, like, wanted to cry, because I'm like, I have to do my job. My boss is supposed to observe me, and if I can't get on Zoom, it's not going to work. And I had gotten another computer, but it wasn't completely functioning yet. And, like, I wanted to use the new computer. It was like the Holy Spirit said, I'm changing your systems. And, like, it's time to, like, not use the old system. You've got to use the new system.
Come on. And
it just, like, I don't know. It just, like, really spoke volumes to me. And it's like I called the tech department, got the new system working, and I mailed the old one back. I'm like, I'm done with you. And so it was just really cool, and he reminded me of that today.
Yeah, that's good. That's powerful. Powerful. Erica, you want to share your testimony real, and anybody else has a testimony, feel free.
Okay. So a phrase that I think he was just highlighting, just to share in the point of sharing, is he didn't plan it, but he planned for it. And how trauma, addictions, abuse of, you know, substance and whatnot, and how it makes negative ruts and negative things in the brain, and just, you know, bad anxiety, depression, PTSD. And although he didn't plan for that, he didn't plan it, he planned for, I don't know if I'm, for this it. Is even working, is it?
Yeah, it's working.
And so I just wanted to testify how he plans for that in my life, and how he plans that even like sweat, you know, like Adam and Eve, they sinned, they weren't supposed to toil the land, and how, what a gift sweat is for us, you know what I mean? And it gets the toxins out of our life, right? And just even the prefrontal cortex, the prefrontal cortex, thank you, my brain's tired. I mean, I just even used that today. I got triggered, and I was just going down. I was like, oh, no, and I just snatched onto his feet under the cross and got under the blood, and was finally at a point where it was like a lifeline. I was like, wait a minute. What do we think about this? Like, what does this mean? Yeah, and it was crazy cool. I was like, oh, I'm out of it, and I can start grabbing onto truth. Anyways, I wanted to testify just because, so for my brain specifically, and I had two really bad car accidents a year and a half apart from one another. The first one, it was like brain damage because my brain rattled so much. And so by the second car accident, I was able to get this like rainbow brain picture. I went to Dr. Amen Clinic, and they just get this picture of your brain. They're able to see the shape of your, or like the shape, like the condition. The shape, condition, there it is. Of your brain and why it is the way it is. And so in my past, I mean, I was diagnosed with the highest chronic of everything, of depression, PTSD, anxiety, all these things at 13. And I used everything I could to get out of my reality. So alcohol, I drank like a fish. And that does not, you can be done with that, but you could still see the effects in your brain. So fast and forward, here I am after my second car accident, and I came to God Encounters here at the farm. And as Rhonda was talking about, like, encountering God, encountering love, encountering joy, the attunement, the power of attunement. And so I did, I think it was about 4 months, 4 months of God Encounters, 4 months of him just not, you know, he set me free, but, you know, the not going down the shield, set the captive free, and that, but it was just purely him, like, I'm glad to be with you, I love you, and just pouring into me and revealing himself to me and how much he loves me. And after 4 months of that, I went to go get my rainbow brain picture, and it showed that I had never drank a day in my life. It showed that I had, like, barely kind of, you know, I had something to do with, like, depression, PTSD, and just all these different things where it was like, the Lord, like, literally healed my brain, and that's not supposed to happen. It's real. Like, it actually happened, and it was just simply being with him. It's who he is. He inhabits the praise of his people as you seek him. Like, he is to seek. To find him, and it's just simply being in his presence, and it's who he is. He sets it free, and he heals and restores and redeems. So I just want to testify that, and it wasn't only that and him, but also just being in this community and just all that is being shared and taught. You know, I lived here. I lived here for about 8 years, and he was born here. And living here for so long, like, and being through so many teachings and so much, everything that you guys just heard, you know, it's like this community, these people, this leadership, they live it. They don't just speak it. Like, it's literally formed into our structure of our schedule, you know what I mean? And it's held at the center, and it's like the joy building, the cooking and eating and cleaning up together, the three or more, I mean, just all those intentional things, like, was a huge part of that too, and how we need each other in the body of Christ to be that light. This is, you know, as she was saying, it's like this is all brain science studies, but how it just lines up, it is the Word, you know, and how light always conquers darkness. And so as you live in light, as these beautiful staff and members that I've been to spend years of my life with, as they live that out, like, that's a part of my transformation story, my brain being transformed. Like, we need each other, too. So anyways, I just wanted to testify of just how great and amazing he is, and he literally set us up for success, you know, and, yeah, so.
Colleen, behind you.
So in 2009, I had a pretty serious horse accident and pretty serious surgery afterward, and they predicted that I was done working. I was like 61. And so every day, because I couldn't hardly do anything, I'd listen to tapes or music about the Lord or just people talking about the power of God and this and that and the other. It never, ever dawned on me that I wouldn't return. I just kept going in that direction. I just wouldn't even talk about it at all. I took all the vacation I could take, and after 5 weeks, the Lord had me return back to work. Thank you, Lord. Rhonda, I want to thank you for this training. This is just, it's so eye-opening. It's just, it's very comforting to know that there's things that we can do without, you know, seeking a counselor, spending money, you know, giving up. It's, thank you very much. There's a lot of research here.
Nothing else, huh? You're all, oh, Miriam.
For months before I came here, when I would talk to the Lord and he would talk to me, because it's new, I'm new hearing his voice, and I'm so excited. After I read the bride book, I'm telling you. I did exactly, okay, sorry. Anyways, the Lord kept telling me for months, behold, I am doing something new. Now, I mean, over and over and over. Remember, like, the Lord just, but I knew it had to do with this. And
it's amazing. Wow. It's very deep, and I'm going to study it. It's just, my brain is like,
yeah,
but it's beautiful.
Overload. Yeah.
Everybody's brain's on overload. Mine even was on overload. Yeah.
I'll just add a little bit in here. Just because
When I came to the farm, I definitely had a lot of deep ruts that were just very fear-based and negative, and I mean extreme, right? Just very much just constant. It was like I didn't think I would ever. Actually, I just thought that was my reality because it had been that way for a while. Like I didn't think I would ever sit in a room with peace and not if you have all these things going on. And so, but it's today, it's different, you know, because I really came here and I sat in these conferences, and even though a lot of it was flying everywhere and my head was cooking and heat, and I just there's such a history of the, a lot of the journey there that, but I just kept getting washed over with the word and with truth and with the Lord and encountering him, you know, just whatever it would be. And I used to also, have the word, like, really carried around my neck and flip it around and read it constantly. Like, it was so rough up here. It was like I knew that Yeshua was the answer. And I knew that his word was alive. He had taught me that before I came. And so I knew the few basics. So that's what I would grab onto is just those things that in him and just like renewing of the mind. And so, it, you know, things take time or whatever, but things would change. And then the Lord would come and touch, you know, my brain and God encountering him, like really he would be up there doing stuff. And so just the power of all this, I mean, I'd love to say, boy, I just kept going as a pro, but, you know, but there's so much here. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this. And, oh, we can do this. And we can like, heal our brain even. I mean, the Lord can, we can partner with him to have our brain grow strong, be strong and sharp and heal it more and have a relation. I mean, there's a wealth here, such a deep well. Like, I want to thank you, too, even though you probably have already maybe said it, but really want to say that from me and probably all of us. I don't really believe I know how much gold we just got dropped. Yeah. You know, like how much help, but it takes us partnering. I don't even begin to believe that because, like, seriously, thank you, Lord. Like, really, he's like doing us the hugest. He's giving us a big gift right here to really go deeper so we can know him more and love others and be with people in front of us and understand what's going on. We can help them, help the world, you know. And so I'm just very thankful.
Tried to get through this without crying. So a year ago in November, my husband died. And 17 days after he passed, I made a quick trip to the farm here. Spent 7 days with Rhonda and Danny and others and having them pray over me and minister to me and speak life into me and deal with the trauma that I experienced and the pain. And it was a real 7 days of battle. It really was, because I had issues in my knee and all kinds of other stuff, you know. And they fought for me. They loved on me. And I just knew that's what I was supposed to do, you know. And it was such a comforting time and a time that I just felt so loved on. And I needed that really desperately. And when I got back, I found a journal that said, on the front of it, it had butterflies. And it said, with brave wings, she flies. And I knew that I was at a crossroads. I could wallow in grief and loss and allow that to consume me, or I decided that, or I could choose life. And I decided to choose life. And because of friends at home and friends here that cheered me on, you know, I began to eat differently. I began to exercise. I began to have these God encounters and, you know, things that were on my shelf for a long time that I had put off and did not want to do or just didn't have time to do, all kinds of reasons. I didn't think I could do it, maybe all these things. I decided to do them. So, I mean, so many different things have happened this year. I can't even begin to tell you how life has changed so much. And I'm so, so grateful for the Lord, for what he's done in my life. And it's forward ho, man. It is forward ho for me. And my life has changed, absolutely changed. So yay, God. Yay, God.
So I love this time. It's been exhausting. My brain has gone somewhere to take a nap, but I don't know where. But some of this we've had before in bits and pieces, but to have it all in this notebook, comprehensive teaching, has been amazing. And I'm so looking forward to watching again and to reading and learning how to apply it. But in the last year or so, maybe 2 years, this phrase has come to me many times as I'm studying or we're doing trainings or whatever. And it's what is it unto? You know, it's unto something. This isn't just so we can have a nice, happy brain. We are the body of Christ, and we have a purpose. And I really believe so strongly that the, you know, some of us have known each other for just for a little while, some 30 or 40 years, some 50 more plus years. But there's a bond here. And if it's a joy bond, great. But there's some kind of bond here these few days. And I really believe it's unto something. For each one of us in our own hearts to find out, what is this, Lord? What is this? And all of these ways that we can implement this training are just wonderful. But the primary thing is, Lord, I want to meet with you, find out what this is unto. You know, what's my part in this as we come together and we enter into, most of us believe, those last years, however many we have. But we're on that path, you know, toward his return, as Rhonda's taught us. So I just encourage all of us, just, you know, let's meet with the Lord. Let that be first and foremost. Let's meet with the Lord, meet with each other in whatever groups, you know, whatever community we have, and see what this is unto, because it's unto something amazing. It just is.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought about with this conference is you are getting tools today that's not available, easily available, anywhere. I mean, this is concentrated tools. What can it do for you? It can keep you out of that list where the Bible says in Revelations, most will fall away. This will keep you out of that most list. If you'll take it to heart and to mind, because you got brain in your heart and your mind, and just remember, go, oh, wait a minute. No, I don't believe what they said. That's what happened in the past. That's what happened in Germany. They didn't do this, and that's why they supported Hitler. They didn't do this. They didn't ask. They just went with the flow. So you have an opportunity to not go with the flow and not be with the most. You can be that remnant.
So one of the things the Lord's been asking me recently is, and he's saying, what's the anecdote? What's the anecdote? And, you know, it's like, for the light, it's the truth, it's the word, it's the blood, it's, you know, what's the anecdote? And so as you know, church is messy and people are coming in, and you're trying to help them, you know, in their troubles and whatever's going on with them. But what's the anecdote, you know, in their circumstance? And I feel like you just gave me the curriculum for the anecdote.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, I just want to second everything everybody's saying. And I've been studying the brain for a number of years and going to different workshops and seminars and stuff. And what I really appreciate about this one is you've taken some material that is very complicated, very detailed and stuff, and made it very understandable. Because I will walk out of those other workshops and it's like, whoa, you know, because they go into the scientific stuff and give you all the jargon and stuff, and it just kind of overloads your brain. And we are feeling the overload, but it's practical. We can actually understand it, and you've made it very practical and very useful, and I just adore the practical applications. Because information is great, but if I can't use it to change my life, transform my little brain, get those ruts changed, it doesn't matter. And what I so appreciate it is you've done that. And so we just give God, Yeshua, the glory, but we also know that he used you in doing that. So thank you.
Yeah, most of you know that my wife, Dana, had a big medical scare almost 4.5 years ago. And she's been in a big journey, you know, back toward better health and healing. She's come a long way. The Lord's given her enormous healing. For example, she's gone from 6 prescriptions to only needing 2. And she doesn't need those 2 all the time. You know, she's been able to take them less and less often. And maybe she won't need to take them anymore eventually. But, yeah, the Lord's given her a lot of healing, a lot more mobility and everything. But during those 4.5 years, I had developed some trauma that for a while I didn't even realize I developed, because I was just, you know, just in the thick of it and just trying to survive and figure out everything and just, you know, get through the day, every day. And I didn't know what to do for a while. And eventually I learned at the end of the day, at the latest, I need to process what's happened with the Lord. And don't go to sleep in high stress and, you know, worried about stuff and, you know, just don't do that. I'm learning to not do that, and he's worked through the trauma that developed during these years, and I probably still have a little bit more I need to work through with him, very likely. But I don't get any more trauma related to her medical struggles or how it affects me. I don't get trauma from that anymore, because I've developed a habit of, you know, earlier in the day, I try to process things with them, but if I don't, at some point at the end of the day, when there's a moment of calm and quiet, I have a strong habit, it's just automatic now. I think about the day, and I process it with them, and I intentionally go for the, you know, really hard stuff, you know, the things that are scary and painful. And that's what I focus on when I talk to them about stuff. When I talk to them about my day and process with them. And I stop getting trauma. Because I don't get stuck in that anymore. And I can just work through it with him and get healing and be done with it. So, I mean, as difficult as these past 4.5 years have been, I'm grateful for them, because I've learned to depend on Yahweh to help me process life and not let the sun go down on my painful feelings and my fear and you know, everything else. I just work through it at the end of the day with him.
That's great.
I just wanted to say amen to all the things that everyone said and what it's done, and thank you. And I was thinking, you know, I wish I had this when I was first married or my children were young, but you know what? It's never too late with the Lord. And so I thank God for that.
I just want to reiterate, say thank you. Thank you, Rhonda, and thank you for the whole farm, because I know it's a lot of work that goes into making one of these happen.
Amen.
Yeah. So thank just thank you, everyone, who partook in that and laid down your life for that. And also, the thought that keeps coming to mind is, I mean, just how critical this is and how... I mean, the thought is, like, who is Satan? He's the father of lies. And is that not what we're talking about? I mean, the truth versus the lie. And that's what he's coming at. He's coming with to us with lies that are not true. They're contrary. And when we latch hold and believe him, and I mean, I've done it plenty of times in my life, and how, bang, the course of my life when I hold fast to something that's not true. And then the reverse of that, the freedom that comes when the truth shines in. And so I'm just thankful for all this. It's a lot to still chew on and process, and it's a good thing. So thank you.
I just want to thank you as well for the conference. On Thursday, I have a testimony, God story, and Thursday, you were all here. I was at work. It was really cold on Thursday. Got off work, went out to my car, and nothing, I turned, went to start it, and nothing happened. I was like, great. So we have a portable battery pack with jumper cables, but I'm not real confident in how to use that thing, so I called David. My husband, and asked him, how do I hook this up? And so I opened the hood, and there's a cap that has a positive sign on it. So I opened that thing. Well, there's two prongs under that cap, and I didn't see any other prongs in the battery. I'm like, well, and they're like really close together. I was thinking, one must be positive, one must be negative. And so David's telling me, red to the positive, black to the negative. And so I'm thinking I'm following the right instructions, and he's thinking that I know what I'm doing. I hook the two up, and then, of course, turn the power on, nothing's going on, hit the override button, because if the battery's really low, then hitting the override button would take the safety off of that battery pack, and you get more power. What I didn't know, I tried it. It was just the battery pack didn't even have power, which was a miracle. Didn't light up. I tried to start the car. Nothing happened. Another miracle, and I just gave up. I took the battery pack or the two whatever cables off. Knew not to touch those together, but took them off. Called the security guy at the school that I work with. He came out. He had the same thing. He hooked the one up to the right, and then he hooked the negative way over here. What are you doing? And I have the same. And he said, what are you doing? And I was following my husband, and he said, your husband did not tell you to hook those two together. This guy is awesome. He's a believer, loves the Lord. Well, I got the car started right away. Battery was 6 years old, so it didn't didn't hold the charge in that cold weather. We had to get a new one. I marked that battery when I got home where the positive was, where the negative was. And just thank you, Yahweh, that he knows. But what happened is, what I didn't know, my VLE, that I know the term now for, kicked in. And all these accusations came in and flooded me ever since Thursday and yesterday and all night last night. And I was like, what is this, Lord? And I've done several, God, I've been out here, used to live out here for several years, receiving God encounters and ministering different capacities. So I have the tools, but it wouldn't leave, this intense, this thing could have blown up. And I'm just like, wow. And that feeling kept coming over and over and over. And this morning, finally, I felt the Lord show me. He's like, what else did you feel like was going to blow up in your life? Were you? And 3.5 years ago, I gave birth to our baby. She was full term, but she came out without a pulse. And we, my husband and I, we felt we're following Yahweh. We're felt like we weren't doing anything wrong, yet the outcome did not come out like we thought. And everything just shattered. What I thought was simple, trust, I used to think trust was so simple for me with the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, I feel like I'm just climbing a mountain right after that happened. Following, to just even say yes to him, to just even get his perspective. And that didn't used to be a problem. And so I just felt like Yahweh used this to just heal another piece of my heart. And, so I'm thinking, I've already processed this with you. It's been 3.5 years. I'm doing good. I was a mess the first year, and the second year it was better. Now I don't fall apart now, except for like today. For some reason you were talking and this lie. And just that whole point of getting Yahweh's perspective in the midst of, because it's so true that we walk through, we get his perspective, but the enemy will use whatever he can to get us offended with him, with Yahweh. And I got in this place of being offended with myself, my husband, everybody in my world, and Yahweh, and really just had a hard time, like, what in the world? Until I realized, and through different ones, and just that it's my flesh rising up, and Yahweh will be, or the enemy will be right there to help us get offended. He'll use anything to get us, even just a little tiny thought of, okay, so the battery didn't blow up, but why did this event happen then? Because the battery should have gone off. Well, Red X. But could have, where it just didn't make sense. And so, but as soon as I realized and just agreed and just called out for Yahweh's name, this was just today, this afternoon, right before lunch, and many of you probably saw me kind of tears in my eyes and falling apart. So I couldn't come out of it, but as soon as I just looked at Yahweh, and Marie, your hugs are amazing, and just attunement, so important. I was able to, they always light came in and that thing left, and I'm back for joy, back to joy, and able to share with all of you guys. And so I'm just really thankful for this teaching, thankful for Yahweh and his protection, and just how he knows. I love Romans 8, whatever that verse, the one that says he knows what to pray for before we do. He's there. He's the great intercessor. He's always praying for us. He's always with us, even if we don't know it. So, and he was with me when I was at my car. He showed me all that too. So, yeah. Well, just thank you, Yahweh.
Well, thank you, Lord.
Up in the back, Al.
Where do you think communion?
You mean the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table?
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly part of it. Anywhere, every day, anytime. you know, we're not limited to just Sundays or just.
Right.
We're told, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So it's a big part of our lives, should be. And that's eating together. You know, we observe the Lord's table a little differently from before when it was established. Before it was a meal. They didn't have a little tiny cracker and a little bit of drop of juice. They would come together to eat and observe the Lord's body by using unleavened bread because that represents sinless. I won't take communion with leavened bread. Because leaven represents sin, and Yeshua had no sin. But unleavened bread, that's just my personal opinion. Other people are fine with it. And then the fruit of the vine. So they that's why Paul corrected them in Corinthians, because they were getting drunk. They were coming together and eating and being gluttonous and getting drunk, and that's not what it's about. So that builds joy. Eating together builds joy. So it's a really helpful. Well, yeah. Okay. Celeste, back here.
Well, we've been given a feast the past 3 days, and I want to join the thankful party. Make sure my prefrontal cortex is right, front and center. And the takeaway, too, for me, there's just many, but I have such a desire more than just to go read the notes and to realize how much time it just takes to get it to this place. And so I'm very thankful for that. But I just, and then just trust Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, to lead me to the things that He would desire. That, you know, what's the outcome? Like Cindy Y was talking, what does he want to do? And as she was even talking, there were certain scriptures that were coming to my mind that I'm like, yeah. So I could feel and sense the Holy Spirit already partnering with me to be able to, you know, put into practice, you know, what we've learned here. And so, again, but I want to just thank you, Rhonda, too. Just an incredible teaching and just 3 days. Wow. I mean, just. To sit under, I mean, I think it would be tough to just teach for 2 hours, but 3 days. So I'm very, very thankful your gift to us, your gift to the body of Christ, and bless you, and Danny.
Thank you. Amen.
So happy to hear I'm going to put this into practice. Several of you have talked about that. That was my prayer from the start. And that's why I wanted to take the time to have these handouts. I am going to make corrections where I've got typos and I've got a few things. So I won't probably post the notes on that until I get that done. So you will get them once I have them. Okay? And hopefully you will form 2-way bonds and some 3-to-4-way bonds with people and allow your prefrontal cortex to grow and theirs. It's going to be fun. I love to hear from you as you do that. I would love feedback. Bless me. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out or get stuck or whatever. We're here to help. And so, again, thank you all for taking 3 days out of your 4 or 5 days, because some of you travel. Thank you for doing that and being with us. You're a blessing. It's been wonderful. And Colleen's hands up.
And I want to thank Mary for all the page stuffing that
yes,
she did.
Yes, of course.
Yay.
Yeah.
But I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to go home.
So that's awesome. Well, that's great. All right. I love you all. We ask you, Father, now to set your seal on our spirit, soul, and bodies, that all the seeds that have been planted, I ask that you would water them and cause them to grow and multiply, that we would become like a tree of life, that many, many, many people could come and find fruit that remains and find life, find you, find joy, find hope, find perfect love, that cast out all fear. We ask you to do that in the name of Yeshua. And give everybody safe travels home in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Love you.